Bob had to say my prayers. I had been taught to say my prayers, but to kneel down. But as I thought about it, I knew I couldn't get off the horse and back on because I was too small to get back up on the horse. And if I turned her loose, her head loose, as we called it, that would loosen up on her reins so she could go where she wanted to. And as we did that, well, I was afraid she'd go on into blue water if her coat was. I think mine too.
Well, that's all right, yeah. Okay, we were talking about you was on this horse and you had been taught to kneel down to pray, so you continue that.
I had been taught to pray, and especially I was taught to kneel down. And I knew I couldn't get off the horse to kneel down. And so I thought, well, I'll just sit here on the horse. I stopped my horse, and I sat there, and I said my prayers. I asked the Heavenly Father to help me find the trail back to camp, and that nothing would harm me, because the animals was all around. And boy, so when I got through, I listened. I had always been taught that let the horse have its head. That is to loosen up on the reins and let them go, that they would go to where they were supposed to go. So I loosened up the reins and let old Blanco go. And she went just a few steps and then turned off. And I knew then that I was lost, because I had been up and down that trail so many times, and I hadn't noticed that trail. But as she went a few more steps, I saw the trough where the animals came to drink, and then I knew I was close to the camp. And as I went on a little farther, why, here come Mom and Pop and the whole crowd after me to hunt for me. And it was after dark, and they were hollering and making a lot of noise so they could draw my attention if they didn't see me. But when Pop and Mama saw me, they stopped and went to camp, and everybody went back. And of course, this here, again, finished our berry picking.
Let me ask a few questions. The name of this horse is?
Blanco.
Blanco, and what does Blanco mean?
Blanco means white, they told me in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And she was a white horse.
Uh-huh.
And she was very gentle and kind, and she loved children.
That's great. And then it seems to me that when you let a horse have his reins, he always goes home. Now this time the horse didn't go home. The horse went to camp.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think the Lord must have directed the intelligence of that good old horse and had her go to camp instead of home. That's great. That reminds me of a case in the Bible where the oxen were attached to a cart, and they were supposed to take the Ark of the Covenant home. And the Philistines said, well, now we'll put their calves in the barn, and then we'll turn these oxen loose, and if they are directed by the Israelites' God, they'll go back to Israel, go to Israel, that is. And if they're not directed by Israel's God, then they'll go back to the barn where their calves are. So they turned them loose with this cart, with the Ark of the Covenant loaded on it, and those oxen took the Ark of the Covenant to Israel and instead of going back to their calves. So I think this is the same case. The horse is directed by the Lord.
Yes. This is Clara Marine Young Roberts at the home of her brother Raymond Steve Young. And if August the 23rd, 1986. And I have been
227 J Street, Salt Lake City, Utah. Okay, go ahead.
I've been thinking about Dan and his sister Mary. They were very close when they were children, younger. And when after she married Ed Collins in Vernal, Utah, her husband left her, and she came back to Red Mesa, Colorado, to stay with her folks until she could do otherwise. And while she was there, her stepson, Ted Clowes, got into an automobile wreck and broke his back. And of course he was laid up entirely with his both legs paralyzed. And he was going from home to home, having people take care of him. And Mary Van lived in Red Mesa, Colorado. And she was having a hard time finding work so that she could take care of her children and herself. Her parents would take care of the children during the day, but she had to have someone to stay with her and help raise them, not just let them stay at her parents in the daytime and then her take them at night. It didn't satisfy her. So she was working around, and Ted was very dissatisfied with the care that he was getting. So he called Mary one day and asked her if she wouldn't consent to come down to Bernal, Utah, and take care of him, and she would be paid for her services. And her children also could live with her, and that way she could have the money she needed to finish raising her children and herself. This was accomplished. She raised a fine family. And as time went on, they had a beautiful home built for her and Ted. But she got kind of sick, and come to find out it was her heart that was troubling her. And she was very much concerned about it. And in April the 5th, 1976, Glenn died. One of her choicest brothers. And just 4 months later, why then Mary died. But to go on with the story, why one night, Glendola's husband, Marvin, came home from work. It was about midnight. And he said, "Glendola, why is Uncle Glenn sitting on the porch over there at your mother's place?" And she said, "Well, Marvin, you must be mistaken, because Uncle Glenn died 4 months ago." "Yes," he says, "I know, but that was as plain as day that she was sitting. He was sitting there just like he used to." Just like he used to do when he was alive and would come and visit with us. And it didn't seem to bother Glendola right then, but as she thought about it, it did. And so early the next morning, just as soon as she could see, she jumped up and went over to her mother's house, which was just about 10 steps from her place. And she went in the house. The door wasn't locked, so she walked in and into the bedroom where her mother slept. And there her mother lay dead. And she looked at her and then thought, "Well, that was why Uncle Glenn was here last night sitting on the steps. He knew Mother was about to go, and so he had come to take her back to heaven with him." And 3 days later, they held her funeral there in Mazer, Utah. And it was a nice funeral, and everybody felt bad because Mary was well loved by everybody that knew her. And during the prayer, Mark's wife, who is Mary's youngest son, looked up, and there.
Mark's wife's name is what?
Mark's wife's name is
Glendola.
Viva. I'll have to spell it because I really don't know how she pronounced it. B-I-B-I-A. Louise was her second name. And she was so thrilled about it. She waited until they were carrying the casket out, and then she went to follow it. And there stood Uncle Glenn in the doorway, and he looked at the casket and looked at her and smiled. I guess he was well pleased with what was going on. She said she felt like reaching out and touching him. He looked so natural. But she remembered that it wasn't him, that he had died 4 months before this. And so After they all got outside, she came running over to me, and she said, "Oh, Aunt Clara, did you see Uncle Glenn?" And I said, "No. Where was he?" And she said, "Well, he and Aunt Mary and two other persons were standing at the head of Mary's casket while they were saying the last prayer. And then when they took the casket out," she said, "I followed it. And there in the doorway was Uncle Glenn looking on. And he seemed to be well pleased because he was smiling at the casket and at me." And she said, "It just thrilled me. I wanted to reach out and hug him like I always did. But," she said, "I didn't do it because I remembered that he had gone on before, months ago." And she was so thrilled to think that she had this privilege of seeing him again in the next life.
Okay, Aunt Clara, thank you very much for that memory. And I especially am glad to hear it, because I've heard that people do come back to witness their own funerals. And I've never heard any evidence, real evidence of it until now. And so I'm glad for this evidence that people are permitted to come back and witness their memorial services that are being performed for them. Now then, you said that Vivia, or whoever did, or Viva, saw four people standing there at the head of the casket. Now, who were they?
Mark's wife, Viva, said that she saw four people standing, when she saw this, she saw four people standing at the head of Mary's casket. And she recognized two of them. That was Glenn and Mary, her mother-in-law. And she did not know the other two people. But we kind of think it was Glenn and Mary's parents, because they were both gone. And she had never seen them, so she didn't know them. But that's who we believe it was.